This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Sadie Bess, my girl. How you doing? Welcome to the pod. We've been trying to do this one for a while, so thanks for coming in. How's your week going?
The week's going good. I fly out to Boston tomorrow.
Hey.
We've just been at it.
Have you been out there before?
No, I haven't yet. And I'm actually get to bring my mom and my sister this time.
Oh, so it's like a family trip plus a tour date. And where are you playing up there?
I actually don't know what the place is called.
Is it Loretta's? Mm-hmm. Oh, it is?
Oh, it is Loretta's. Yeah.
Shout out to Emma behind the camera. So Loretta's Last Call, a cool little spot up there in Boston. New England's fun, too. And this is like the perfect time of year to go up there. Because with all the leaves changing and stuff, and you're beating the snow, which I know you're a Michigan girl, you're not scared of any snow, but like it's beating like the snow and like the super cold weather by about a month.
It's still gonna be like, I think the high is like 60 or 65 or something. So kind it's gonna
of,
be great.
It's kind of perfect though.
Yeah,
that's exactly what you want. So what have you been up to? How's life?
Dude, we have been so freaking busy, but in the best way possible. I think we're on like 80 something shows right now. It's been like on the road from Thursdays to Sundays, and then writing like Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, meetings, all of the above. But like I said, like I can't even complain because this is what we've been working for.
Yeah, and in a year where a lot of folks are having trouble getting shows and selling tickets, to have 80 under your belt, especially this kind of early into your career where a lot of the wheels are really starting to get going. And you've done a lot of shows before, like you've done like the private house party kind of thing and like gotten out the grassroots independent approach, but now to have like the team at WME behind you and like have the push that you're having, to have 80 plus dates in 1 year, that's a big thing in 2024.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And I've definitely gotten like better with the shows. I think once I did The Voice and like the stage fright kind of was gone, especially doing these like the reps and like doing the catwalk for the Rock the Countries and then switching over to the acoustic with Randy and Justin Moore tour. I just feel more well-rounded and I feel more confident in doing shows. Whereas before I just was like freaked out, dude. Yeah. I was freaked out.
Yeah. Talk about Rock the Country a little bit, because Nikki T and I went to the one, of course, that you weren't playing.
Yeah, what the hell?
I know, right? I mean, we screwed up on that, but what a tour and what a festival circuit that was.
Yeah, I think we did 7 out of 8 dates, I'm pretty sure, right? 6 out of 7 dates, close enough.
Yeah.
But next year, I hear they're doing 14, but it was with Kid Rock, Jason Aldean, Miranda Lambert was at a couple, Brantley Gilbert, just some of the biggest, best names, and Gavin Adcock, who's new and up and coming right now, was on a lot of those with me too. So those were insane. Some of the biggest shows I've ever played and wildest crowds.
Yeah, those crowds were crazy and like just blue collar, red blooded folks, and like to get. And we talked about it kind of before we started this, like you've got 6 songs out right now. You've got a lot in the tank. We're going to get talking about the new music and what's coming in 2025. And we're super stoked about it. But to have those opportunities with where you're at in your career and only having like a small batch out, like that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think everybody's just been wondering how the hell we've gotten in these shows. But I'm just excited to put out the new stuff because then I think it's going to make sense. And for this year, you know, I've sang like 1 or 2 of the songs that I have out. I've sang Holy Ground and Wake and Bake, but the rest of my originals have been unreleased and the crowds have still been so nice. They've been accepting and really listening. And then I pull out a cover or two and they're just screaming it at the top of their lungs.
Yeah. So when like people ask that question, like how the hell does she have this many shows? Like how is this all happening? Like what's kind of your answer for that?
Well, it was definitely after I got off The Voice, we wanted to keep the momentum going. So I'd put out a couple songs. And then we had all these people saying, you know, come play in this state, come play in that state. And we didn't have the bars reaching out for us to play there. So that's when we did the private house tour, which was anywhere from just like private events. And sometimes we'd get small town bars out there, but we were going from like Thursday through Sundays playing in backyards, playing in horse barns, playing God knows what and God knows where. And it was just back to back to back. And I was doing a lot of content at the time. And that's how we got our meeting with WME, with Joey Lee. And he had called us in the office and basically asked how we had pulled that off. Like, what are you guys doing? How are you doing this? How are you staying sane? And then that led to us signing with them and then getting these bigger shows. So this year was kind of a test trial. Is can we hang? Are we good? You know, and the shows kept coming, so we took that as a yes.
Yeah.
And now all we need is the music to follow up.
which it's coming. Where were you going for like those private shows? Was it mostly like back home in the Midwest? Were you doing Southeast? Were you kind of going anywhere and everywhere?
It was like everywhere. It was from California all the way over to freaking the East Side, like everywhere. We had some back home, but not really that many, I wouldn't say.
Wow.
Like literally everywhere. We did Colorado, we did Florida, we did California, we did Kansas, Oklahoma, everywhere. Everywhere.
Sick. That's sick. And there's something about the private shows with building a friendship and like becoming a part of like that small town's like family. And they look back and like, remember the time Sadie Bass came through, played her songs and partied with us? And that's how you build your diehards.
Oh, for sure. I was just rolling in with my guitar, a suitcase full of merch, setting up in the backyard. We would rent a PA. We would either fly there or drive there, have to rent a PA, go set it up. And then I would look around at the demographic and then decide my set list on the spot, you know, because depending where I was and who was there, was there kids, was there not, are they younger, are they older? I was like deciding what to play. So that helped me grow a lot and figure out what songs were working and what weren't. But dude, I mean, it also wasn't the easiest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, no.
But if I can do that, I'm like, I can do anything.
Honestly, it gets your chops up. Like the folks that play, and I know you started your career back home in Michigan and started doing, like you've been doing shows now for, how old are you now? Because you started what, when you were around 19, right?
Yeah, I just turned 28.
Okay, so you've been doing it for a minute as far as like being on a stage, singing covers, now doing originals.
Yeah.
Like you've had that for a while. Like there's a lot of folks that kind of get started, especially now with social media and things like that, that haven't done a show before just kind of get thrown to the wolves.
And I think I've been really, really doing it since The Voice, because before then I was like, okay, am I an artist or am I just a songwriter? I really wasn't sure because I wasn't comfortable on stage leading up to then. Like I was always just scared and always like really anxious the day of, and I never really felt good about my performance afterwards. And obviously as I've written better songs and developed as an artist, it's gotten better. But from The Voice on is when we really like cranked it up and we're like, okay, we're doing the artist thing, like we're gonna give it all we got and see what happens.
Hell yeah. So tell me a little bit about Bath, Michigan. What is hometown like?
Bath is tiny. I think I had like, I don't know, 70 kids in my grade. We've got one four-way stop. We just finally got a Dollar General in. Ooh, I mean, your typical small town.
That's a big deal. When a small town gets a DG, that's how you know.
Dude, that Dollar General's making money.
Oh, yeah. Taking all the dollars, man. All the dollars. What'd you do for fun growing up? Because I know you're an outdoors woman. Like, you get out there. You're like Hardy. You like to kill shit. Like, you enjoy putting the camo on and going out there and just getting after it.
I was big on sports, but also in Michigan, like with there being lakes all over the place, everyone had like a cabin to go to on the weekends. So it was some cabin, you know, up north. We always did that, and that was all the water sports, fishing, but also in the fall and the winter, it was like hunting. My dad didn't have a son, so like he had to make do with what he had. And I never could get hit, like the twinkle in his eye with sports. I feel like he was always getting up and leaving games. But when it came to hunting and stuff, he's like, damn, like you're not a bad shot. And like we just kind of bonded in that way. So then, I got into hunting. I got into bow hunting especially, too. And that was like really fun for me.
See, I've never gone hunting. I do own a shotgun, but I've never gone hunting. Oh, I grew up in New York. Like, there wasn't a lot. I didn't grow up in, like, I know upstate New York is country. I grew up like 30 miles outside New York City. So we didn't have a whole lot of that. Now, I've been around it. I've been around like buddies that this time of year, they're out chasing deer, and then when it gets into the spring, they're chasing turkeys, or they're going on these duck hunts and doing all this shit. And it's like something that I want to get into, but it's like, how do you get started?
I know that's true, because now you're in Nashville too, so you have to find the buddies who are going to let you hunt the land first. So your best bet is to start off with like waterfowl, like ducks or geese, and then turkey. But then like deer, if you're going to shoot deer, they're probably going to want you to like do a doe first, because nobody wants to give up their bucks. You know what I'm saying? Especially around here. I still don't even have a place to hunt. And well, besides Styles, he said he might let me hunt out there, but that'd be the best way. Once we find a turkey spot, we should bring you with us.
Ooh, that'd be something. Fun. That'd be something.
I can't believe no one else has invited you yet.
No, I mean, I've had like, because again, I came up working with like Muscadine Bloodline, and Gary Stanton has all of his like turkey feathers, like he's trying to complete like the Grand Slam or whatever, where you go to every state. I think he's got like over 20 of them, 20 states where he's killed a bird. So I've been around guys that are like, and girls that are like really into it. but I just haven't gotten. I don't know if it's they don't trust old Yankee Doodle Dandy over here to be in the blind with them or
no,
what?
Because I'm
loud. It's like what? Like I know you have to be quiet. Luckily, I don't smoke cigs anymore. So they were like, no, you got to be careful with your scents and all that stuff. So.
No, I just think it's a matter of time now. I think we needed to get you on a turkey or some waterfowl first, and then. Frick, when I find some land out here, we'll get you on a doe or something.
Yeah. I would try to take down a doe. That'd be fun. And then turkey is like the one where you have to call. It's like the calling back. Like there's a whole other like element to it, right?
Yeah. Me and Emma actually, I've always been just like a deer hunter mostly, but me and Emma just went to North Carolina for a show. It was with the NC Strutmasters. Which was like a competition thing. And we went with a guy who called them in for us, which was great. But we actually got to get up and walk around and find them on the field and then shoot one, which is really, really cool. Versus like deer hunting, you got to be quiet. You don't move. You're by yourself a lot of the time. So that was fun.
Hell yeah.
That was fun. But first time, dude. Yeah, we were like lurking through the woods, dude, trying to be quiet.
That's funny. You got to do stuff with the Outdoor Channel, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was called Hunting for Lover Likes. I did 2 seasons of that.
Hunting for Lover Likes. So what was kind of like the premise?
So basically it was girls who had a bigger social media following, which is funny that I was even on that show because at the time I had like, I don't know, 30 or 40,000 followers, which...
Still a lot of fucking people.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I guess. And I only maybe had 1 or 2 songs out, but it was in Louisiana and Matt Buspus runs it. And I'd gotten a call from the Outdoor Channel to go... hunt out there, and it was basically to prove if you actually know what you're doing or you're just like taking pictures, I guess, with like guns and stuff, which I didn't even have that many pictures of that anyways. I mean, I had like out in the woods shooting or whatever, but not like your hoochie ones, you know, like
your
in a
hoochie.
Bikini with like a gun or something.
There's the hoochie hunting photos. See, I haven't seen much of those,
but yeah.
See, I'm not in that I'm not in that algorithm. Maybe it's because they know like we're with my life, like I don't get the thirst trap hunting girls on my feed.
Well, it's
out there.
It's out there. So I got the call one day, I remember, and I thought it was a prank call or something. I was like, why is Outdoor Channel reaching out to me? Like, I had never shot a monster buck and from Michigan, a couple acres. I'd hung up, and then he called back and was like, no, seriously, like, we're doing a show. It's called Hunting for Lover Likes. And they had told me that it was pretty much to prove if you, like, could walk the walk. And I didn't really care about that because he had said that I got to go hunt in Louisiana morning and night and it was free. They were paying for my flights, paying for my food. They were going to pay for a mount if I got one. So I was like, dude, I don't care if people think that I'm like the real deal. But I went out and did good. I ended up winning the first season and then the second season I didn't. But it was like amazing. We did hunting in the morning, a challenge during the day, and then hunting at night for a week straight.
What's like a challenge? Is it like target shooting or something like that? Or?
Yeah, it was like target shooting or like an obstacle course or I'm trying to think of other ones we did. There was like the e-bikes, races, things like that. I can't remember. It feels like forever ago.
There was
a tree saddle one. I didn't do bad in those either. They were fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Isn't it crazy? Like, that's like being on a TV show, like, that's a big deal. But you've just had so much shit going on since then that that feels like forever ago.
Dude, it really does.
In reality, it wasn't that long ago, but you've lived so much life this year with just running and gunning and going. How do you balance it all? Like, having the writing songs over at Sony, which congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And doing the touring like you've been doing and all the branding stuff and all that comes with being an artist and still have a personal life and still have time for your friends, for your family, to do the things that you love outside of music. Like, how do you balance it all?
I think I'm still figuring that out. It's gotten easier, though. Like, in the very beginning of touring heavily, it was like just figuring out how to even do that, how to pack, unpack each week was like hard because the weather and what to bring. And then I was like constipated on the road all the time. I was only shitting like once a week. So I was like packing like a cute little tank or something and then I couldn't even button my pants because I was full of shit. So then I would have to wear my own merch in like a 2X and just ride it out on stage.
Shit happens on the road, pun intended.
I wish shit happened on the road, but not for me, bro. Not for me. So that was a struggle once I got over that hurdle, which prune juice has been doing it for me these days, thank God.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. And then the packing and unpacking, I looked at the weather. I always bring alternatives for if I am bloated, if I'm not bloated, that helped. And then like the times that I'm back for the days that I have rights or meetings, I just try to fit in everything before and after that. Like the day I get back on Sunday, that's when I put my laundry right in and out. Like I make sure that's just done. I do my groceries. If I don't, I'm ordering in and I'm wasting money that week. And then for calling home, I feel like in the beginning of this year, I really wasn't calling home much. It was just whenever I see you and I'll update you on everything. But lately I've gotten a lot better at calling my mom, talking to my sister about what's going on. And then anything that's like big in the family, holidays and stuff, we like black it out on the calendar and make sure that I go back. So
yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
As far as personal life though, there's not much of that, but that's okay because this is like what I've been working for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's you're literally, you get to wake up every day and write songs and play shows and post on social media promoting these songs that you're writing and singing and getting to go play music for people. And that's your work.
Yeah.
Like the fact that that is work is like you're literally living out your fucking dream.
Right. And I remember when I was waitressing, all that I wanted was to be able to do this. I was like, man, I'm just wasting, you know, from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day when I could be writing. I could have written a song today or I could have done something for socials and I was getting off of work and I was taking a nap and going to a round or whatever and trying to get people to write with me at night. And now it's just like I write so much more and I'm getting so much better. The only thing I'm figuring out now is that my off times or my in-between times, I'm supposed to be doing content. But a lot of times, like if I do have off time, I look like a bum, dude. I look homeless. Like I'm not, I just look scary, dude. And I don't like, I'm not going to take a video of me right now. But sometimes I think about it because I'm like, this is real life. This is what it looks like.
Shows the people the realness.
Yeah.
Where were you a server at?
First Watch in Green Hills.
Okay, so doing all the brunch.
Yeah, breakfast. Lots all the old men came in. They wanted their coffee just a certain way. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do bad, but I will say I probably would have done better at a bar with like drinks or something.
Yeah.
But I liked that I could do it in the morning and get it over with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it made harder staying out late at night because I was like up at like 5 a.m.
Yeah, that was like my, I was like the only job that I had that wasn't music related was I was a bouncer on Broadway. When I first moved here.
Ooh, how was that?
I was a door guy at Whiskey Row. I used to be the ID guy. I'd be the guy that would find the fake ID and then like put it in my pocket and tell the kids to fuck off.
And what we like, and then you sell it later?
Oh, we didn't sell it. We kept a book. We had a binder and we had them all organized by state. And like we had, because I lived with my buddies were Ethan Willis and Dakota Tate, and they were also bouncers. And so we would take all of our IDs and just put them in like a book and stuff. But I say that to say,
should have sold them.
I know. Well, you're looking back, there's definitely a lot of ways that I could have made money.
You probably do jail time for that, huh? I don't know.
Yeah, you probably could.
Did you say Ethan Willis? I haven't heard his name in a minute.
Yeah.
Didn't he get married?
Yeah, he had another little boy. Yep. Yeah, he was one of my first buddies because he was bouncing at Whiskey Row too.
Wow.
So it was like but I say that to say, like, I would work the day shift a lot of times and it was staying out at night, like, doing the late night and then the early morning is tough.
It was tough for sure. And then I was always like the grandma that was like trying to leave early because I'm like, I gotta work tomorrow. And everyone else was like, you know, had jobs that were later at night or doing Broadway where they're up late anyways. So that was tough, but made it through.
Yeah.
Made it through. It's been good.
Yeah. What's it been like getting to open for like guys that you look up to, like Justin Moore, like Randy Houser, like Brantley Gilbert? Like, what have some of the pinch me moments kind of been like?
It's been crazy, especially with like the Randy and Justin Moore tour, like them playing their songs. I just realized like I know so many of their songs. Like I just feel like a fangirl and I'm over here and I just open for them, but I'm like watching them play and I'm like, I know every single one of these
hit
frickin'
after
songs.
Hit after hit. There was nothing like 2010s Justin Moore, 2010s Randy Houser singing Like a Cowboy, Running Out of Moonlight.
Dude, he does Like a Cowboy 6 minutes for a set. Like he'll sing it over and over again and just even better than the recorded version because he can just belt it. That was crazy. But a pinch me moment honestly has been our relationship with like Brantley Gilbert and his crew. They have been so kind to us, and the whole time I'm just like, haven't they had like cooler people? Like why are they like just so nice to us, you know? And they're just good people all around, his whole crew. And I think one of the times we had opened for him, it was in Nevada. The band and I were supposed to play the show, and then we had to fly out like right after because that was like the cheapest flight that we had had. And we had got done with our set, which Brantley ended up watching, which I was freaking nervous. But that was so nice of him. Like most artists, they're like, they got things to do. They don't have time to watch me do my little set.
Yeah.
And he watched it. And then when we got done with the set, he was like, are you going to stick around and watch? I was like, oh, we actually have to like leave. We got to fly out. And he said, stay for the show, and bought us all new flights back just to watch the freaking show.
Wow.
And we were like, just looking at each other, like, what the hell is going on? That was a pinch me moment because that was just so kind of him. And it made us think if we get to that point one day, when we get to that point, we want to like do that for somebody else because it truly made our day. And I've learned so much just from watching their set.
Yeah. And all those guys came up in the position that you're in right now. They were the ones opening. They were openers for the folks that came before them, like the Tim McGraws, the Blake Sheltons, like the Luke Bryans of the world. And they remember being in your shoes.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, Brantley, though, wasn't he like pretty successful, like pretty young?
So he came up in like the bar scene. It's funny, we were talking about Gavin earlier, that circuit of like the guys like the Gavin Adcocks of the world, or even like Trey Lewis, like playing in the bars in their home state of like Georgia, Alabama, like that circuit. That's kind of what Brantley did for a long time. And then,
but he was young, wasn't he, when he did well?
He was, I would say, probably like mid-20s, not too long, not too far after.
But, maybe he was like 25
but,
or something.
But opening like similar kind of things. Like I remember the first time I saw him, he was first of three opening for Tim McGraw at like amphitheaters and stuff, you know? And that was after Country Must Be Countrywide and all that stuff had come out. So that the Halfway to Heaven album was fucking big in my life. And he's a sober guy too. So I resonate a lot with the BG Nation.
Yeah, well, he's sober from alcohol, but he ain't sober from Mary Jane.
That's me too. California sober.
Michigan sober.
Okay, so I will say that. So I got to go to Michigan this year, and I'd been a few times. Like I'd done like tour dates through like Grand Rapids and Detroit and Flint and different places like that. We got to go to Midland this year, and Midland, Michigan. And I tell you what, the grass is greener in Michigan. The bang for your buck. Mary Jane that you can get in fucking Michigan is out of this world. Yeah, like dude. The deals, and it's like as soon as you cross the border from Ohio, like it is nuts the amount of weed.
Well, and everybody's just like growing theirselves, so we don't have to pay for our weed very often at all.
No, but when you do, it's like dirt cheap. I'm talking like $80 ounces. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
Blew my mind coming coming from having gone to like your Colorados, your Calis, your Illinois, where the tax rate is really high. Michigan, it's like going into like a vape shop in Antioch. And it's like a dispensary. And they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. There's just drive-thrus now. You can just get a couple of joints on your way.
$10 carts. Like it was freaking, it blew me and Nikki T's mind. Like I stocked up for probably like the next year of my stuff just off of one weekend in Midland, Michigan.
Good.
And it was great. Yeah. And
the grass is greener out there. We don't got no scary animals besides the winter, but it's
What scary animals are there in the winter?
No, there's not. I'm saying like, oh, the weather, sorry. But like Michigan's good because we don't have any like freaky big animals that can kill you, nothing in the water that's going to kill you.
There's no bears in Michigan?
There's like black bear like towards the Upper Peninsula, and they're kind of some down in the Mitten, but cougars.
What do they call the oopers or youpers?
Youpers.
Mm-hmm. That was I got to like what I was saying earlier with you, like the tailgate and tall boys festivals.
Was that in the UP?
That was in Midland is like just north of northwest.
Oh, it was
Detroit.
In Midland.
Yeah, it was in Midland, Michigan. Okay. Was where we were, and but one of the things that I did on stage, I thought about it. I'm like, I wonder if everybody will do this. So I told everybody to put their hand up in the crowd and point in Michigan where they're at.
And they did.
And a lot of people pointing in that up. I was like, shout out to all the youpers. And the place went nuts. Like, the youpers just seem like they're built differently.
Dude, the youpers are a whole other breed from what we even are. Like, when we've driven out there, we actually have a show coming up there in Lawrence, Michigan. But like you'll lose service in like the most scary roads out there. There won't be houses for miles, gas for miles. Like, there's like a lot of toothless people, no offense for some of the youpers, dude, but it's a whole nother.
It's rednecks, yeah.
It's a whole nother breed of redneck. And they're just like tougher because the winters are brutal and they're just still outside just as much, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's similar to like going like way north into like Maine or like those remote areas. People always talk about how country the South is. You go up to the Midwest, there are some country ass people.
Yeah, dude, I'm just realizing there's just a little bit of country everywhere, like even New York. When I first thought of New York, I didn't think, you know, about upstate New York, but like there's a little bit everywhere, man. Like people think Detroit when they think Michigan, but there's just so much more to it. And we're actually have so many lakes, so we're like lake people, dude. We're on the pontoons, we're snacking, we're drinking on the water, somebody's wake surfing, somebody's tubing, you know, floating, God knows what.
How do you, what's the way, like how would you prep for like the perfect lake day? Like what are the essentials? for Sadie Bass to bring out on the lake.
Dude, we're getting floaties to lay out on or to drag behind the pontoon while they take it out.
So, like, are we talking like the big Mabel kind of things? Like the big, like, red thing? Like the big tube that you lay out on? Are we talking like pool noodles? Like, what kind of floaties are we talking
about? We would do that if we're in a, like, tube, but we're thinking like the layout kind, you know? Or whatever is going to hold your drink. Or we'll do like the floating coolers. And you want to bring a bunch of rope so that way you can connect your floaties to the boat and then rope to connect your boat to other boats. So, a bunch of pontoons will just all connect together, like, and you can just walk around to other
like
boats.
A big barge.
Yes, a big barge, pretty much. And then there's snacks for days. There's fishing poles. The guys are fishing. Kids are swimming. The kids, the aunts. Everybody's snacking on the boat. Music's playing. Sometimes multiple music. And people just come and go. And that's, like, perfect. Perfect. Jet skis will come up or speedboats. You can go tubing if you want or get dropped off.
That's cool.
That's the way to go. There's a bonfire rolling on shore. If you want to go back, you got to go back. Go number two, man. We'll just drop you off and go back out or swim in. You should.
That's awesome.
Take a jet ski ride in.
That's cool. And lake life, they kind of have it here in Tennessee, but not to the level that they have in Michigan or Minnesota or places like that.
They're just like everywhere. Everyone has an up north somewhere. And if you don't, you have a friend that does and you can get invited up, you know. The more the merrier. It's like some cot or loft you're sleeping in or spare room or heck outside if you want to, really.
Yeah, you're just happy to be there.
Yeah, really, honestly.
That's awesome.
And like I said, there's nothing in the water that's going to kill you. I don't have to worry about gators, crocodiles, sharks, nothing.
Yeah.
Thank God. I'm not really an ocean girly because of it. No, I'm like freaked out.
You won't go. So if you have a gig down near the beach, you won't go in the water like at the beach?
I'll go in the water. I'm not going to go out real deep.
So what are we talking? Are we talking like waist deep? No, like knees? Like how deep are we?
Up to like right here. Like midsection. Maybe tits. Okay. Yeah.
Tits deep.
Tits deep. Because if somebody's going to get their like eaten up, it's me. And I'm not doing it.
No.
I'm not ending up like Soul Surfer. No, I'm not doing it.
No, have you gotten to play a lot of beach gigs? Have you gotten to go down to like Florida and those areas?
We've actually had a lot in Florida, I feel like, which is nice. We love it. I like doing those actually in the winter because we're, you know, we're getting all dry and crackly up here. But we'll take those anytime. We played a lot in Florida, I feel like.
Yeah. Florida folks are just built different.
Yeah. We did Tortuga. That was in Florida this year.
Oh, you did Tortuga this year? I forgot.
We did Tortuga. We did Faster Horses and we did Watershed, dude. Watershed in Washington at the Gorge.
Yeah, at the Gorge, yeah.
Is everything they said it would be.
Yeah, you look out and just see nothing. Just vastness.
Just the sunset, the way the stage was, and they had like golf set up to where you could just hit golf balls out into like.
Did you take some swings?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. I'm not a great golfer, but I think I'm getting better.
You're getting better?
When I first was doing it, it was like a softball swing, but now I'm just like, I'm kind of getting it.
You had a softball scholarship, right?
Yeah, I only played for a year though.
Where'd you go?
Oh,
community college. Yeah, hell yeah.
Hey, man.
Whatever helps.
Yeah, whatever helps. It helped me. So I wasn't in any debt, thank God, but I only went for a year. And then I was like, I think I'm going to try out this music thing.
Where in the field were you playing?
You know, I started at first and third, and then by the end, I was like playing center field, which I didn't understand because I was tall and I was like kind of gumpy. I feel like I was like backpedaling to catch the ball, but I like got the job done, man.
Hell yeah.
I guess, yeah. Yeah. I didn't love the outfield. There was a lot of running.
Yeah, there is a lot of
running. And then the pop fly, I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah,
especially going from first base to out there.
Yeah.
Do you follow sports at all or not? Not really.
Not a ton lately. I feel like I'm kind of behind in everything, but I like hear from everybody else what's kind of going on.
Okay.
So, I've been into the Lions this year since last year, thank God.
Yeah. And then the Tigers are playing well right now, too.
Yeah.
They're actually making a playoff push.
We're state fans, but it's okay.
Michigan State fans, yeah.
Yeah, over Michigan, we're state fans for sure.
Yeah, well, I hear that East Lansing and Ann Arbor are different, very different kind of places. Like the culture of the Michigan fans and the culture of the state fans, it's kind of like the culture of like the Alabama fans versus the culture of the Auburn fans. Like one's a little bit more kind of blue collar than the other. Like Michigan's a little bit more like your frat boys, like that kind of thing. Whereas state kind of has that like blue collar element to it. Is that
I've heard both, right? Okay. Like, I feel like I've heard it being argued both ways, but I am just a state fan for sure because my uncle used to play for state.
Oh,
he's
nice.
Like in the Hall of Fame for it. So I mean it's just like our family thing, but also I feel like growing up, you know, just Michigan and Michigan State, like in school we were always just like arguing all the time.
Yeah,
it was it was like fun to make it a big like you know. FU during the games.
We're in the green and white versus the blue and maize.
Mm-hmm. But I'll still root for Michigan for, you know.
Oh,
Big
you will?
10. Yeah, if they're so like playing somebody else.
Okay, so you're not that into it then if you're still pulling for the Wolverines.
Yeah, I will if we're not playing them. or if they beat the shit out of us, and I'm like, okay, we'll root for the Big Ten, you know.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. Interesting. Interesting. See, most Michigan State fans that I talk to are like, fuck those guys, you know, like we can't do it.
That's how Emma is.
That's how Emma is. She's, okay, yeah, I see her looking over there. I see she's got a Bucky's shirt on. What's like your Bucky's go-tos? Because you're stopping there on the road, obviously. If you're touring, you stop at Bucky's.
We have stopped at Bucky's a lot. My favorite part about Bucky's is the shitters, of course.
The bathrooms are elite.
Yes. Elite. But I've like had hit or misses there, for sure. Of what to get. Our favorite lately has been the iced coffee. You can make it any way that you like. There's everything and anything. Yeah. And then for breakfast, we've been doing the brisket and egg in like a taco thing.
Yeah, the breakfast tacos. Yeah. Insanely
with brisket
good.
In there. So good. Yeah. And I put like jalapenos in there and freaking sour cream, the cheese. Feeling good, you know?
Fresh brisket on the board, is that what to say in there?
But for like the tacos and like sandwiches, pulled pork and stuff, I feel like we've hit or miss. For me personally, Emma loves it. Aaron, my drummer, loves it. My other guitarist, Zach, is skeptical, but he's also really picky.
Yeah, I remember when their prices were a lot lower, and then all of a sudden you turn around and it's a fucking $9 sandwich. I remember when they used to be like $4.99.
Yeah, because now everybody knows about them.
Before they started taking over the world.
Emma just got like a jersey from there. She's gotten like bathing suits from there.
The merchandise is crazy.
And it's a beaver.
Yeah. They're protective of the beaver, too. If you try to make, like, a replica logo, they don't even send the cease and desist. They just fucking sue your ass. Like, seriously, they do. Like, there's so many stories about that, of people trying to make, like, a knockoff, like, Bucky's thing with, like, the yellow and then, like, their logo in the middle. And they will sue. They are so protective of their fucking beaver. It's crazy. I know, it's funny to say. I always take
Don't touch my beaver.
My girlfriend and her parents have like a tradition where they always take like a handshake photo with like the little statue outside. So now I find myself doing that. Every time I go, like the handshake, like it's like the presidential kind of like handshake, but with like the statue out front. And people are always looking at me like I'm a Korean tourist in New York City.
Maybe we
something.
Should start doing that. We stop there a lot.
Yeah, and then you can remember which ones you go to, because I've been to a lot of them, and now they have them at like every entry and exit point.
I feel like all of them have like different stuff too, right? Which is like nice. You never know what you're gonna find in there, dude.
You never
find
know.
The craziest knickknacks.
Lots of knickknacks.
Yeah.
Lots of
the
knick-knacks.
Band comes out with all sorts of different stuff.
Oh yeah, it's like you want to spend money on the road. Stop at a Bucky's, and you'll add 40 minutes to your arrival time.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Especially so. For how big is the crew that you're traveling with out on the road? If you're doing full band show, how many guys you got out with you?
Right now, who's like solid is my drummer Aaron and then my guitarist Zach. Zach's from Michigan. Aaron's from here. And then that fourth player for guitar, we've been dating some players. We've had some players come in and out to see what fits, basically. Okay. So there's that. Nice. So we run with a three-piece sometimes. We put our bass in the tracks. And then, we've just been doing that, but dating that fourth player Emma to see what's a good fit.
Then does Emma come out with you? Do you have like a merch guy? Like what?
Emma comes out, she'll run merch unless it's like a big festival and they have somebody running it. And then we had a content guy, you know, Austin.
Yeah.
We had him, and then Josh Ross stole him because he had even more shows than us and even better pay. So we took him, and we were sad because my content was finally starting to get like cohesive and crisp, and he knew where to go, what not to shoot, don't get my armpit fat or my sixth tit over here, and it was going good. But we didn't blame him. We were like, dude, we would have done the same thing, but one day we're coming back for you. And then lately, besides that, in certain states, if anybody, you know, we put it up online that we're playing there, people will come and shoot it. And we've just been kind of experimenting. But we do have a new guy, Nelson, too, that we really like that might move to Nashville.
Nice. Where's he based out of?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah, nice. Dude. I don't know. He's been all over the place.
Yeah.
He actually was with us in the beginning of the Justin and Brandy acoustic tour. And I think it was like the first or second show that we did with them. He was like running around shooting us. And then he like snuck up to shoot some shots of Brandy and Justin. And then afterwards, when he showed the content, they like really liked it. So they offered to pay for him to come for the rest of the shows, because a couple of the shows we weren't getting paid enough to afford a content person. So they hired him on. And now they're the ones who are saying, hey, if you move to Nashville, like we'll like hire you on full time.
Wow.
Because he was like running around and like doing all this stuff. So that was awesome.
That's cool. How do you balance because I feel like you're one of those artists that has a big social media presence and personality and like, you're fucking hilarious. You're a joy to be around, and you convey that with your content. No, seriously, like, what, you're one of those people, and same thing with Emma. Like, you guys are like a dynamic duo where it's like, you guys, we see you walk into Red Door, walk into Lose, we're like, oh fuck, it's gonna be one of it's gonna be one of those nights. Here
if
we
we're
go.
Walking to Red Door,
so
yeah,
like, yeah, like having like having the personality thing with your content, balancing that with the music thing. How do you kind of do that?
Like just getting the content and stuff?
Well, I'm saying like balancing, like when you're creating your content, like you have stuff to where you have the content creator side, but you also have, and from doing like the TV show and things like that, like you definitely have some, like the personality thing in addition to the songwriting, like there's like the artistic side of like writing songs and creating music. And then like the content you create on top of it is just awesome.
I think for content, I'm still figuring it out because I even want to show more like behind the scenes for the road stuff and the recap videos. That's been easy because whoever we're hiring, they follow us around, and whatever they're getting of us is just authentic. Like,
yeah,
he's like, oh, this is funny. She just fell over here. She just said some shit. You know, like we're going to put that in the video, which is really good. But as far as any other content, it's usually me in the house trying to remember a script to tell people where I'm playing, what time I'm playing, what the venue's called. And then anything else is just like videos that Emma gets of us naturally or videos, and we end up putting it up online. And there's a lot of videos we haven't even put yet. Like we'll get a ton of footage, but just sometimes don't schedule it out to put it up. But
yeah,
a lot, like it's all just authentic. It's just real life what happens, and we just post it.
Yeah, and I feel like you're coming up at the right time right now, because the authenticity thing, like they've always said, country music, three chords and the truth. But like I feel like right now a lot of the guys and girls that are working, like yourself, it's because people are like, that's a real fucking girl right there. Like yeah. they see there's not like an act going on. Like this is real raw Sadie Bass, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like right now that's appreciated more than it's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I wasn't always that way. I think when I first started doing music and even with social media before Reels and stuff, I remember I was always trying, like I was dressing more girly. I was trying to put up the most perfect pictures and just make sure I looked perfect all the time in the very, very beginning, like 19, 20, 21. And then later on, you know, when I couldn't keep up with that anyways, because I'm just not that way and I dress more casual, I was just happier and I felt more myself. I feel more confident even when I just have a hat on. I'm just that kind of person. And it just made my posts more genuine. And I noticed that the more that I was just like myself and honest and not perfect, like people were like, oh, good. Because they feel like they relate to that, because it was just like, you know, not realistic to just act like everything's 100% perfect all the time, or that you look perfect or whatever.
Yeah. Now being a female, do you get crazy comments and crazy DMs and shit like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I get some freaking just weirdos, man, who don't get the hint. Weird comments, old guys, dude. I think the range of the creepiest ones are just old guys, and they always have the weirdest picture. It's from this angle, like on their profile picture, you know, they're like looking up at this thing or some weird thing. And they just say just some of the weirdest things, dude. Yeah. I can't even. There's dick pics. There's all sorts of things. Sometimes people will sing to me or talk to me and be like, hey, baby, like with a voice memo. And I just restrict them and move on with my day.
Yeah, because we even notice that, like Nick and I will talk about it sometimes, where we'll notice there's like certain folks that'll come out when we have a girl or we have girls playing on the rounds, like certain, there's like, you attract some of the craziness. Now you'll happily take their streams. You'll happily take them buying the t-shirts, buying the hats, buying the tickets, you know, like supporting, but there's kind of like a line between being like a fan and being like that creepy dude that you're kind of dreading having to talk to and give a hug to at the meet.
It is hard to tell too. Like sometimes I'll connect the dots later after a show. Like they'll send a picture that they got with me, and I'm like, oh crap, this is this guy. Shit. Like if I would have known that, like I wouldn't have sat there and listened to him talk for 5 minutes if I would have known that he's Joe Schmo 59 in my DMs every day, you know. But at the shows for meet and greets, like I'm treating everybody the same. You know, I'm saying hi, doing whatever, doing the pictures, signing anything. But you never know like what's going to come out, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and then you go to those cities and, you know, cause I remember back in the day, I forget which artist it was, but I remember them cause I used to do radio up in Jersey, and we'd have artists that would come through and like play different venues. I think it was at the Starland Ballroom. And I remember them cutting out the radio portion of it. Like where it was radio folks, we got spoiled. Radio folks get spoiled. You get all this free shit. You get to do all these cool things, whatever. It's like part of being like in radio and in media. And I remember them cutting this artist's thing because there was somebody that was like a known like stalker type figure. And they had like extra security there that night to make sure that that individual wasn't there. And it's just like, it's crazy that it gets to that point sometimes.
Luckily, we haven't run into that where I'm having anybody that I know of stalk me yet. And I'm also like really aware. I feel like I'm
And you have
if somebody messes with me, good luck.
And you have a good team around you too that keeps an eye on that shit.
Yeah,
you
know, we have which had is important. People come like backstage during like sound checks and stuff, which I hate, by the way. Anybody listening out there, if we're like sound checking and stuff and you come backstage before or right before I play, that's like the worst thing because I'm going to be there after. So anybody listening, don't do that. But we've had that a couple times and we're like, man, one day we're going to have security and this will all go bye-bye. But as soon as we see a creep, like Emma's got her eyes on that person. Yeah. Like we got multiple people like, hey, we're... You know, 6 o'clock, watch that guy. Because if we're going to get killed, it's going to be by that guy tonight, you know. But we haven't had any, like, super crazy things. I've had some people get a hold of my address somehow and send me weird letters and sometimes, like, pictures of me. And usually they're all okay. Like, there'll be hunting pictures they want me to sign. But then just recently, like, I never post really revealing photos. No. But I recently did one in my suit on a boat in the summer and, like, got that one sent to me and wanted that signed back. And I'm, like, not going to send it back because I don't want people to know, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, because, like, you want to show that you enjoy your time on the lake, but it's, like, it's not meant to be taken in that way. It's
like, I don't need this on your bedroom wall.
Hey, guys. hey, guys. It's boat season. I'm out on the boat just like y'all are. Happy summer. Happy 4th of July. Happy Labor Day, Memorial Day, whatever the fuck it is, you know? So how old were you when you moved to Nashville? How long have you been here?
I moved in 2020, so 4 years.
What a time to move here.
Yeah, well, I had visited before that a bunch, so I kind of got to see what it was like before that happened. But yeah, I had ended up moving, which was okay because since there wasn't shows, everyone was stuck in town writing, and that's what I needed to do was like figure out how to write. But I also, when I first moved, had a hard time getting in rights because I saw the music I had out. They were hearing me at rounds and I had a lot of work to do, but I think looking back, it was a good time.
Yeah. And that, and like you said, everybody being off the road and kind of being in the craziness that was that time together, it makes it a little bit easier to find your crew, to find your people, to find your tribe when you first get here. Because having your homies in town is such an important thing, you know, like having a group of guys or girls around you that are the ones you go out with, that they're doing the music thing too, and you're on the grind together. They're who your initial co-writers are, and then high tides raise all ships, and you get to watch them kind of come up. Like Jason's one of those people, you know.
Jason has been there from the start.
Cross, another guy who will occasionally post a bathing suit photo.
Speedo
Jason Cross, one of our favorite. We call him a hoss cat. We say he's a purebred hoss cat, papers and all.
That's absolutely what I would
call him. How long have you known him? Because you knew him before you moved down here, right? Or is that since you've been down here?
No, we moved right around the same time. I had said I was moving, and I said, if you're going to do this thing, you better move too. And so he got on it and did the same thing. But we were in Michigan, and I was playing or trying to play shows out there. Still, like I said, wasn't very good. He actually was at my very first like show that I'd played full band.
Oh,
and
wow.
He told me he remembers I sucked. And I said, yes, I did. He said, you just like stood there and you like weren't confident. I'm like, yes, you're absolutely right. Well, then I had like an older guy band playing with me. It was like a couple girls I went to school with, their dads like had like a band. So I had them do it for me. And as I had more shows coming in, I was looking for younger players. And I had asked Jason multiple times to be in my band. And he said no. He was like, no, 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 no. And then after a while, he ended up saying yes. He did like, I think, a little run with me, a couple shows just to do me a favor. But he ended up liking it. And it helped him grow. And then he started to get into writing with me. And then ended up like, we were like, dude, you're too good to be in my band, honestly. And he knew he could be his own artist when he started getting in writing. His voice was so good. He had the personality. And then once we moved down here, that's when we really went our separate ways. But we still get to do like shows together, sing together, right? If we want.
Yeah, still each other's like biggest champions.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
Which is a huge thing to have another hometown, proud Michigan native in the trenches with you.
For sure, for sure. And his girlfriend, Corinne, is like one of Emma's best friends. Because Emma kind of does
awesome.
For Jason what Emma does for me. Or Corinne does for Jason what Emma does for me. So they get to relate on that level. And me, Jason, get to relate on the artist
level.
Yeah,
and I love that he's leaning in like that rockin' country thing. Like I feel like he's found himself. Because that's what you do. Just like you talk about your early songs. And it's like now fast forward and you've got songs in the tank that you're like, fuck yeah, this is the
artist. I think people are
going
to be really surprised.
How so? Like, in what way?
Well, it's still, I guess, early to see what direction we'll totally end up in, but I have a good, like, range of different stuff and different kind of production, but I think what comes out, people are going to be surprised, and I think they're really going to like, the direction that I've gone.
Surprised in that we're looking, like, traditional, we're looking rockin', we're looking kind of poppy, or you're saying it's a little bit of all the flavors?
I have a little bit of all the flavors, and whatever producer I choose is really going to blend whatever we choose.
Yeah.
But like some of I've done like poppy trap beats lately and stuff too.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's been like really good. Like we really liked some of my newer songs. Like even just the last 3 weeks, I think we have like 3 songs that we were like, oh, these are for sure like being added. We love these. But we didn't really imagine that when I first started. It was more like the Gretchen-y Miranda Lambert vibe, which I can still do. But the ones that I really bop to and that have really fit my voice and have fit my style of writing have been different than what we thought.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good.
That's really cool. And then talk about having, now that it's announced, and you've been over there for a little while now, right? But talk about Sony, writing over at Sony.
Dude, that has been a game changer. Like I said, from waitressing to being able to do it full time has been the biggest blessing. But also, just putting the reps, like I really have gotten so much better. In the beginning, it was like so much pressure because I felt like, I'm like, do they, like, have they heard all my stuff? Like, is this really for real? I'm really, like, a songwriter. I'm getting paid to be a songwriter.
Yeah.
And that's just crazy to me to really think about how I even got here. But I put a lot of pressure on myself in the beginning, and I feel like my songs weren't that good in the very, very beginning. But then once I started to, like, even do more shows and figure out what I wanted to sing and just, like, trusting the process and just putting in the work, like, it's just reps, reps, reps. I've gotten so much better. And, like, they weren't kidding when they said, the more you write, the better you'll get.
Then who's your guy over there?
It's Tom.
Big Tom.
Big Tom.
I fucking love Big Tom Luteran. My fellow man from the Northeast. He's a Jersey guy. Him and I haven't seen him in a minute, so you got to tell him I said hello and that you did this podcast, because he's Trey's guy over there. So
yes.
I got to know him through being involved with Trey's career and Trey's stuff. And talk about a guy who has seen it all. Done it all, spent years, and it's just, he's like the fun uncle, dude. Like I love me some Big Tom.
Tom is something else, and he's one of the most ADD cats I've ever met besides Styles.
Yeah.
Who just here, there, one, like you don't never know where the story's going, you have no idea, but he's so entertaining and he's so fun, you know what I mean?
And he knows what the fuck he's doing, which is so important. Like, he knows the kind of rooms that are going to fit to get the best Sadie Bass songs out there.
For
or
sure.
People that are folks that where you create and maybe the song gets cut by somebody else, and that's great too, you know?
Like, yeah, that's like crazy to think that I have the option now. And just getting in the rooms with all these people, none of these people I would have gotten to write with me before the publishing deal. So now I'm going in with new people all the time, and like, it's you learn from all these different people and the way they write each time. Yeah.
Who's somebody over there, like as far as on the writer side, that you've really gelled with over the past?
That's at Sony months? Specifically.
Yeah. Somebody that's been frequently popping up on the calendar now.
Chris Locke has been a good one. He does tracks too, which is awesome, but also writes. And we've gotten some good ones together. Cole Taylor.
Oh, Cole is
me
a beast.
And Cole, we have this one that I'm gonna put out this year for sure called Baby Making Music. And it was just me and him early in the morning, just hung over his limp dick, wrote a good, good song. And I've meshed really well with him. He's just like makes it look so easy.
He's a pro.
Yeah. I'm like kind of an overthinker, and I sit and think, and he just kind of, I'll just be talking and giving him, I call it like juice. I'm like, here's some juice. Like, this is what I'm thinking. And he'll just like start just letting it fall out. You know what I mean? So I've learned that from him, but he's been really good. There's a ton, but honestly, those two I feel like stick out the most. And over at Warner, me and Josh Phillips wrote really well together.
Oh, Josh is a fucking monster.
Monster.
Talk about a guy having a big year as a
songwriter.
Dirt
cheap, bro.
Yeah.
I hope he wins that songwriter award. I think he will.
I think so.
The picture's the biggest.
I think so. And he's another guy that's been at it for a long time and did the artist thing and cut back to just doing the writer thing and has had like the roller coaster of what town will do to you. You know, it'll chew you up and spit you right out. You know,
everybody,
it's a roller coaster, you know.
Yeah.
There's ups and downs, and I'm sure even in the 4 years of you being here, you've had moments where it's like, fuck yeah, we're going up. And lately it seems there's been a lot of those, but there's other moments where it's like, am I really doing, like, you're going down too. Yeah. You know?
He had a lot of advice, which was like awesome. Yeah. And I thought about going to Warner. We had talks with both and he was over there and they were over there, but Tom had gotten to us first and, you know, really was there for us. But dude, the advice and stuff that he gave was just awesome, and the confidence that he had, and he definitely put in the work. Like, I think he said he got up at like 6 a.m. He would go to the gym, you know, has a whole family too, and then would show up to the right and was just crisp on top of it all the time.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, having a routine like that is, and it's tough with your line of work with you're leaving tomorrow for Boston or the third, I think you said tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So it's like, how do you get in a routine when 1 week you're leaving on a Wednesday, you're going across the country? Yeah, you don't. And it's like finding that balance to keep that sanity. Like, it's tough. Like, I've finally started getting in a routine now, having the girlfriend that I do, who's a few years older than me and has a little one and has lived a little bit more life than I have, has definitely helped with that. Now having the consistency with like Ray's Rad, like, I know what my schedule is. When I was out tour managing Trey, it was like, I kind of had it, because it was like, you leave on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, get back in on a Sunday, and then repeat weekend warrior shit. But it's tough, like, and like your mental health too, like keeping that going with just the mental health of being an artist.
And just your physical health, because you're wanting to save money, so you want to eat whatever's free on the road.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're going to pack food, then you got to plan that too. You got to prep that and everything. So, and just working out and figuring out a consistent time. Normally, when you have a schedule, you can do it the same time every day, but you can't do anything the same times every day here.
Yeah. So what do you hit the gym a lot? No,
I don't. I've gotten better lately after Wright's, going to the gym. That's helped me. Before, I like was trying to wake up early and it just wasn't working, because I'm out later on the road during the weekends, you know, and my Wright's start at 11. So I was trying to do it before, but before my Wright's, I really like to have like my coffee, get some work done, and like marinate on what I'm about to write. So then when I got done, it would feel good to get done with my write and not go sit down and work on something else. I would try to go to the gym and then go back. So I'm not super consistent depending on the weeks or what kind of meetings I have, but when I do, I'm definitely better.
It's a good thing to have on the rider too. That was something that Muscadine taught me, was having, they had gym passes on the rider. And if they didn't go, which I also, that's a question I always ask people, and I'm very interested to hear from you, what is on the Sadie Bass rider when you're going to some of these shows?
We have Gatorade. We have...
What color?
This is Gatorade Zero. There's like... I think it doesn't matter as long as it's Gatorade Zero, but usually blue or red, I think they give us, or yellow, who knows. We have red wine, usually like 2 bottles.
Wow.
We have Tito's for the boys, so mix with the Gatorade if they want, or do shots of. And then we have meat and cheese cracker tray.
Okay.
And we have... Batteries, Sharpies.
Batteries is a smart one. A lot of people forget about the fucking batteries. You got to think every
and
show.
Sharpies.
And Sharpies. You're going through a ton of Sharpies. You're going through a ton of batteries with your packs, with your gear, with this. And you never know when one's going to go out. So collecting packs of batteries.
Oh, we got batteries
huge,
now.
Huge, huge. Getting those big value packs. Yeah. Some of them are like the shitty Walmart batteries, but we'll take them because they're free fucking batteries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we recently added like hot tea if they can, because that really helps like with your voice.
The throat coat helps a lot. Yes.
Or access to hot water. And then I recently added like face wipes. You know those face wipes girls use for like before and after sound checks for me or the band? I really take the majority of them. But dude, game changer, because that shit ain't cheap.
Nice.
Yeah. Isn't that like all of it? I think that's on there.
That's a good.
So we're pretty easy.
That's a good rider right there. Yeah. None of the like green colored M&Ms or any of that shit.
Is there anything that we should have that you've heard that we're missing?
The gym passes are nice just to have, but if you have like a Planet Fitness membership, which is what I've got, which I specifically got that for being on the road, because when we were out with Trey, it was like vanning or bandwagon, or sometimes in the really good days we had the buses. If you needed a shower, you get the access to the shower with Planet Fitness, which is nice.
For
you
sure.
Do 24 hours
tanning.
And stuff. And tanning. I've never
not
done
good
that.
For you,
yeah, I've been lucky. I've got that like dark New York, like that greasy skin to where I'll tan. But I've never gone to like a self tanner. I think I'd come out orange like the Jersey Shore guys.
Well, you won't be wrinkly like the rest of us.
No.
Either that or fake and bake, baby.
Yeah. So talk about the excitement of getting some new stuff out. Like, because your last song, Wake and Bake, and that you did a music video for that one too, right?
Yes. We did that right here in Nashville, and that was with a bunch of friends. And
out on the lake, right?
Yeah. With actual Mary Jane that freaking Local Roots gave to us. God bless them, which they sponsored that music video. And that one's been a fun one to sing out and about. But I'm so excited for, like I said, the new music, because I've only had these 6 songs out and I've teased some songs online and everyone's just like, dude, when are these coming out? And we thought they were going to come out sooner, but luckily so much has happened since then, you know, with signing with different companies and getting our ducks in a row, that we just want to make sure we do it right, because we've already waited so long. I've already been patient.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're going to do a collab song with Styles coming up in October.
Yeah, Camo,
called,
right?
Camo,
yeah.
Yes. And it's perfect during hunting season. I didn't write it, but I'm singing on it. So that'll come out. And then we're going to wait through the election, wait through, you know, Christmas and stuff, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then January, when the floodgates open, dude, it's going to be back to back to back music that's coming out. So next year is going to be even better. And I'm so excited to get these out, because at the shows, like, I think every artist's dream is to have somebody, like, have the crowd singing the songs back with you that you've written, you know, and where you can, like, hold out the mic and they're singing it, or just to see them sing it with you and playing all these new songs. They've been listening and they've been liking them, but I'm just like, I want them to jam into their car before the show and then sing it with them. Yes. That's like the most special moment. So I'm excited for that.
It's fucking awesome. We're excited for you. Where in town do you like going? Like, where are your spots in Nashville that you like going? I know we got some chuckles when I mentioned walking into Red Door on a night. So I know Red Door, when given the right circumstances.
If I'm at Red Door, then that means I've committed to being out and I'm feeling good.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. That means I'm feeling good. So that's for sure a spot. I go to Primetime a lot because, like I said, my roommate Erica runs that.
Yeah, which she does a great job. I remember when she was first starting that and she's been killing it. They just had the Whiskey Jam takeover.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, yeah, they did.
Doing a great job.
Yes. Whiskey Jam was a big one that I always used to go to. I don't go to it as much now that it's on Broadway just because parking. But that was a good spot. Live Oak is a spot that I always go to. Tin Roof, Demumbrian. But yeah, those are like mainly my spots. Losers. Dude, I go to Losers more than all the other places.
That's where we see you guys now, is over at Losers.
What am I thinking?
We are very much a part of the Cold Beer Entertainment Losers, Riley Green, Duck Blind family now. That is where all of the Raised Rowdy events are in town, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every other Tuesday. So we're over there a lot. We spend a lot of time with Steve and Austin and Graham and China and the whole crew over there.
Well, that's great, because after a write, we can just like take a meeting over there over beers, you know, and so we're still getting some work done, but also visiting and also, you know, get to have a freaking beer after a good write or a bad write, who knows.
Get a cup of popcorn, complimentary popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That is the good stuff. What do you like eating in town? Like, what do you...
Dude, I don't
go out. Mexican fan, you big barbecue.
I don't
like,
go out to eat a lot because, like I said, I'm only back a couple days and then I'm like writing. So if I get home, I'm like ordering like cava to my house or something.
What's cava?
Cava is like a Mediterranean bowl. And I get like the harissa avocado, which I think they just took off. I tried to order the other day and it wasn't there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I wasn't there. But I haven't gone out to eat a ton. If I did, we did Velvet Taco. That was really good. We did Bar Taco. I love that.
Bar Tacos. Dope. I've spent a lot of time there. My girlfriend enjoys the fine things in life. And if you're looking to find tacos, you go down to 12 South and get yourself some Bar Taco.
Yeah.
Some good shit.
But other than that, honestly, I haven't gone out to eat a ton just because I'm, you know, trying to eat my healthiest when I'm back in town. But I mean, if I'm out and there's burgers or anything anywhere, I mean, I'll freaking go. Oh, and I love Daddy's Dogs, though.
Yes.
Daddy's Dogs. I can't resist.
I had Big Daddy on this podcast and got to hear kind of the whole story. And he used to be on the road. He was like a touring guy, roadie, tour manager, did a bunch of shit, music, and then started doing the hot dog thing. And he's been killing it.
What's your favorite spots? I need to know.
My favorite
spots. Where's the best burger spot for you?
Ooh, Jack Brown's is tough to beat.
Ooh, yeah.
Jack Brown's is really fucking good.
What about wings?
I don't mind the Rusty Nail wings. Shout out to our favorite degenerate bar, the Rusty Nail out in Hermitage, which we will be doing our Christmas party there again this year.
Okay.
So we'll let you guys know when the Raised Rowdy Christmas party is. You guys can come and sing some karaoke, enjoy like $3 beers over there. Where else do I like to go?
What about pizza spot?
Pizza spots. There's a new spot, Tutti DiGio, that is out in Hendersonville. So my girlfriend lives up in Cross Plains. I live here in Hermitage, so I spend a lot of time like north of town, like White House, Goodlettsville, Hendersonville, like that area, Robertson County and Sumner County. So Tutti DiGio is really good. they're like straight off the boat Italian. Like being a New York guy, when I hear the accents when I'm ordering something, I'm like, this is
you get
be
fired up.
Yeah, and then like everybody, lots of Mexican food. You know, of the different chains in town, I'm not a drinker, so Cinco de Mayo doesn't really do it for me. You go there if you want to get the pitcher of margaritas. Like, I joke with Matt McKinney that he's gonna own a Cinco de Mayo one day. Like, he has his own stool there, like the one in Hermitage and the one on the West End. But I'm more of like a Las Palmas guy. Like, I like a Las Palmas, like the cheese dip, little chicken, cheese, and rice action.
That's
some good stuff. And then Nadine's over here is pretty solid too in Hermitage. They got a good Philly cheesesteak.
Ooh, I just had a Philly cheesesteak in Philadelphia.
Which one did you go to?
That thing almost put me out. I don't remember what it was called. There was a real deal one.
There's like two famous ones. There's Pat's and there's Gino's.
I think it was Gino's.
And there's always like a line.
Wait, no. I think that was one of the ones they said not to go to.
There's Pat's, Gino's, there's Ishka Bibbles. There's stuff in, what is it, the Reading Terminal. That's like a big like food court thing in like Center City.
I don't remember what it was called. The Philly's tour manager got it for Justin at the time, but it was.
Yeah, Philly's an interesting place too. Yeah. I always joke that like Philly, New York, and Boston, we all kind of shit on each other, but we're like cousins, kind of like Michigan and Ohio, like the Midwest states. But it's like for us, it's like the cities. Like it's like we're all Northeastern trash, but we all kind of like hate on each other with our teams and.
I just played in New York and I was like driving at the time and I took so many wrong turns, dude. And there was tolls.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Tolls everywhere. And like an exit was coming up and I'm like driving. I'm like, Zach, is it this one or this one? And like, I just miss it and take the wrong one. Like, I thought it was like that when I first moved to Nashville, but New York was a whole nother level.
Yeah. I'm grateful to have learned how to drive in that because you can drive. They say you can make it there. You can make it anywhere. Well, I learned how to drive there. So
this isn't nothing compared to that.
Therefore,
I can drive.
Yeah. It's not too bad. Now, Nashville traffic's tough because New York, you could take a train anywhere. So you have hundreds of thousands of people taking trains and buses. So that's less cars on the road. Whereas here, you don't really have that, so everybody's driving on 40 or 65. The roads just aren't big enough. Or the highways up there are like the Jersey Turnpike, you have two sections that are each five lanes in each direction. So there's 10 lanes going. There's one that's just cars, and there's one that's cars, trucks, or buses.
Damn.
So
I just remember seeing so many exits and so many freaking lanes, and I had no idea. Yeah. Like, it's like, take the exit, and there's literally 12 options.
I learned the skill. We call it the Jersey slide, and it's you're in the left lane, and your exit's like a half a mile or less away, and in one fluent motion, you get from the far left lane all the way across.
Pardon me.
Yeah, well, it's just you know how to time it. You know how people drive up there.
Yeah.
You learn it. And then I've done that driving the bandwagon. I've done that van and trailer from being on the road with Trey, going through different places, you know.
Dude, that's a skill.
You learn a lot.
I got honked out a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. Honks and birds. Yeah. Lots of middle fingers.
Just panic.
I joke that that's the New York, New Jersey turn signals, the middle finger.
Yeah,
middle finger out the window. I'm going to the left. Middle finger out the right. I'm going to the right. That's
funny.
Yeah. So we joke about that. But so new music coming.
Yes.
Some tour dates coming up. You said you're going to Boston. You're going back up to Michigan. You're going to Texas. You're going to Indiana. East Tennessee. Knoxville. Saw it on the website. So yes, Cotton Eye Joe's.
I remember that one.
Cotton Eye Joe's.
Oh, I think I have like eight left.
Yeah. Have you been to Cotton Eye Joe's before in Knoxville?
I haven't.
They are going to love you.
Okay, good.
That is Chuck. Chuck Lorre. Shout out Chuck. I know he's not watching this, but the guy that runs that club. It's right off the highway on 40 East, going east, and it is a fun.
I've heard that one a
fun
lot.
Fun venue. Yes.
Knoxville.
They get down. So you're going to have a really good time out there
in
and a good old Rocky Top and then in Kentucky as well. So that's awesome. Well, I'm excited for you, sis.
You've
had a great year, and it sounds like you said, this year was like the year of like
growth learning.
And then next year is like the year of Sadie fucking Bass, SFB, Sadie fucking Bass.
Yeah,
and
dude, it's going down.
With the music coming out and more shows and everything, so.
Yeah, I'm excited, dude. I'm so excited for the new songs.
Yeah.
Hang in there. Everyone's been patient, but they're coming.
We're excited, too. And anything we can do to help, feel free to reach out. Anything that Raised Rowdy can do to help with the releases of the new songs and whatever.
We're going to hit you up.
We are down for that. So very much. So
thank you.
People can find you. Is it Sadie? What's your Instagram?
Sadie Bass __.
Sadie, why the two underscores? Was it already a Sadie Bass?
Yeah, there was already another Sadie Bass, dude.
Damn.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I use Instagram the most, but I have TikTok too. Same thing. And I also have a Facebook business page, but that's under Sadie Bass Music.
Hell yeah.
But Instagram, I use the most, folks.
Sick. Well, y'all be sure to go check out Camo, the new song with Styles that Sadie is featured on. Be on the lookout for some new music. If you're in any of the cities, or you can go visit, is it SadieBass.com?
Yes.
SadieBass.com. Get on the website, subscribe to the newsletter, and you'll be the first to know about the new songs coming at the top of the year. For more on us, visit RaiseRowdy.com. Shout out to our friends at Surfside. I know we're doing Sober October now.
Yes, Sober October. But
and we're going to send you home with a 4-pack of this, too. I mean, we'll take care of you.
For November 1st,
for November 1st,
baby.
Surfside Iced Tea Vodka, they are crushable. Picture like some other tea brands, but minus the stuff that gives you the hangover the next day.
God bless. They are
dangerous and crushable, and we're going to send you home with a 4-pack of the iced tea. So shout out to our friends from Surfside powering us through this podcast. And like I said, more on us. Visit RaisedRowdy.com. For my girl Sadie Bass, I'm Matt Brill. This has been Outside the Round.
Never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave.